with Lee Hacksaw Hamilton from the Mighty 1090. You can check out his website, leehacksawhamilton.com. Lee, welcome to the program. How you doing?
How are you, Corey? Right in the middle of preseason, getting ready for the NFL, and then here comes Oilers hockey on top of it.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Hockey season around the corner here. But yeah, NFL season, starting to go through the beginning of it here, which is always exciting to see the preseason. What have you, let's start with the Chargers quickly here, Lee. What have you seen from the Chargers so far?
Lots of offense. I think they're going to be really dynamic when it's the number ones on the field on opening day when they play Monday night against the Arizona Cardinals in the first weekend of the regular season. Defense, very suspect. Very good linebacking, but they're very thin, very weak, and a little bit battered in the defensive front, and very young in the secondary, and the schedule's a meat grinder. They play, obviously, Peyton Manning and Kansas City, you know, four times within their own division, but outside their division, they play the NFC West, and that means Seattle, and that means Arizona, and that means San Francisco, and they got New England coming in, and they got Baltimore, so they've got a vicious schedule. I do think the offense will score a lot of points in San Diego, but they're going to have to because I don't think the defense is going to stop anybody.
Yeah, it's interesting. Phillip Rivers kind of going through a bit of a renaissance last year after a couple down seasons. Is that Mike McCoy kind of opening it up for him a little bit, letting him do his thing?
Bingo.
Yeah.
That I think, you know, you and I might have talked last August during training camp. And at that point in time, the storyline was out with the old Norv Turner and with the new Mike McCoy, and what will McCoy do? Well, he went through a bit of a learning curve the first half of the season. They did have a bunch of injuries. Got progressively better as the season wore on, and they did get to the playoffs for the first time in 4 years. Even won a postseason game, although that was really a byproduct of a very, very weak schedule. They played the second easiest schedule in the league last year. They're going to play the third toughest this year. But McCoy changed the culture of Charger football. They practice fast. They practice hard. He made some guys who had reputations of being a China doll, tough guys.
Yeah.
He turned Ryan Matthews into a really good running back. They're very vibrant on offense. They just, you know, at this point don't have enough players on defense, but McCoy is a real deal. He's a tremendous coach, and he's changed his ways. You know, they came into camp last year, and they hit a lot, and they lost a lot of players in camp. They've not hit very much. They've had, for the most part, no catastrophic injuries to speak of yet, knock on wood, with two preseason games to go. So he's learned as he's gone, but he's a really good acquisition.
Lee Hacksaw Hamilton joins us here from the Mighty 1090, looking at the Chargers in that division. Everybody thinks, I mean, it's Denver's to win again, but break it down for me. How does that AFC West look?
Personality of the Broncos has drastically changed. Yes, Peyton Manning is there, and Walker's there, and Demaryius Thomas, and those load of tight ends, and all the injured people they had on offense are now back healthy, but the personality of Bronco football has changed. Their defense will be involved in street fights. You know, they went out and got a speed guy in DeMarcus Ware to play opposite Von Miller. That is a huge upgrade in the rush department. They got a very good cover corner, Hakeem Talib. They got a real tough guy in T.J. Ward at safety. And the other thing is, and nobody's really mentioned it, two of their big, better defensive linemen who were hurt at the end of last season, Derek Wolf and Kevin Vickerson, are both back. And those were big, really tough football players before they went down with injuries at mid-year. So, I mean, Denver's style will be what Manning does, and Manning does it well, but Denver's personality has changed defensively. I think they're going to be an unbelievably gifted team if there are no major injuries along the way. In terms of the rest of the division, and I may be the lone wolf on the street corner saying this, you know, Kansas City had a really good season under Andy Reid last year. I think Kansas City takes a step back. I think Kansas City doesn't even make the playoffs. I mean, they've lost a lot of players. They lost three offensive linemen and let a lot of guys go to free agency. They ran off one of their multi-skill guys, and Dexter McCluster, let him leave. I grant you, Alex Smith, I think, is a pretty competitive quarterback and really blossomed under Reid, but they've never found another wide receiver, Dwayne Bowe. Now they've lost their tight end, Sean McGrath, who just out of nowhere announced his retirement. So I just think Kansas City is going to come back to the pack and not be the kind of team they were last year when they ambushed a lot of people. Oakland is an interesting story. The general manager and the coach, I think, are both on the firing line. They've had back-to-back 4-12 seasons. Now, in defense of Reggie McKenzie, Corey, understand this. You know, he inherited a mess. He had to get rid of a lot of bad contracts, and he had to get rid of a lot of bad attitudes that he inherited from the late Al Davis's regime, and they've gone through some really painful times. They have bought themselves an offense. At least they'll be much more competitive. But I don't know which is the real Matt Schaub at quarterback. He's not done anything in this preseason camp, even though they've opened up the playbook and let him throw the football a lot more. But they'll have more skill. They got four wide receivers. They brought in three veteran free agent offensive linemen. They got Schaub. They got Maurice Jones-Drew to go with Darren McFadden. Defensively, they're awfully, awfully young. I think they'll be competitive, and they'll probably scare some people this season, probably win some games maybe you wouldn't expect if Schaub can be what Schaub used to be in Houston. But he was miserable last year, and he's not had a good preseason so far.
Talking NFL here with Lee Hacksaw Hamilton out of the Mighty 1090. Who's had the best camp so far, Lee?
Well, I think I'd say New England. I'm not going to say they've gone through a renaissance, but they've really brought in a lot of additional defensive players. And they had a lot of injuries last year. I mean, they lost both their defensive tackles. You know, losing Wolfolk, losing Tommy Kelly were just huge setbacks with surgeries. Well, those guys are back. All the guys they force-fed, the young players are back. They're healthy in the back end. And I think a year under the belt with young wide receivers, Tom Brady's got a much better offense now than they had a year ago. I'm going to be fascinated to see what Jay Gruden gets accomplished with RG3. Mm-hmm. That's a whole new playbook. They're going to let Robert Griffin III do some creative things, although he has to stop running and he has to stop taking hits. Keep an eye on Detroit. They've had a good camp so far. Jim Caldwell's a very different coach, a very cerebral guy. And with the addition of Reggie Bush to complement the quarterback, Matthew Stafford, to, you know, complement Megatron, Calvin Johnson, I think they're worth watching. The one that I think is going to jump up and be a player, if they can stay away from injuries, and injuries have hurt them 2 years in a row, I think Jeff Fisher has stockpiled an awful lot of talent, both sides of the football, with the St. Louis Rams. And I'm going to be interested to see the dynamics of year two of the Chip Kelly regime in Philadelphia.
Yeah.
As the season went on, Corey, teams defensively caught up to them and slowed them down. Well, what he's done is he went out and he got Darren Sproles, and he just made a trade last night to get a running back from Carolina who's a lightning-fast guy. They brought in five receivers that are 6'3 or better. Philadelphia really bears watching, because we'll see if they take the next step forward or have people truly figure them out. But just off the top of my head, I think those are some of the teams that you could say right now as we go through towards the tail end of August, I think have had good camps so far.
What about the other end of the spectrum? Who are teams in your mind are in some trouble here this year?
Oh, they're going to be screaming and yelling in the Meadowlands if the Giants don't fix this offense. Something doesn't fit. They look terrible. They brought in a new offensive coordinator. They brought in a lot of new players. I mean, they've kind of rented a whole bunch of guys after a crummy season last year, but they're having a lot of problems with Ben McAdoo's offense. Eli Manning just has no rhythm at all, and you can tell it's a brand-new offense. Everything seems foreign. There seems to be no rhythm at all to what they're doing. They've played three preseason games so far. Remember, Corey, they played in the Hall of Fame game. Mm-hmm. They played three preseason games. Eli has no touchdowns with the number one offense. Victor Cruz has not caught a pass in three preseason games with the number one offense. So a lot of strange fits there. Jets, you know, they like Geno Smith. They've got a very good defensive front, but they've eradicated all the stars on their secondary. I don't know how Rex Ryan thinks this group is going to hold up. Dallas is terrible.
Yeah.
That might, you know, we thought they had a miserable defense last year. They look even worse this year. They got so many new players. Nobody's playing well defensively. They lose the linebacker, Sean Lee. He's gone. They got chronic injury problems to both their starting cornerbacks. The chaos in Cleveland, they just don't have enough players. I know it's very convenient in Cleveland to say, give the football to Johnny Football, Johnny Manziel, but he's not ready. And Brian Hoyer does not look like the same quarterback he was prior to the big knee injury he had middle of last season. San Francisco, as great a talent as they are and as great a leader as Harbaugh is, you know, Niners have not had a good camp. They got an impending suspension coming with defensive end Aldon Smith. A mess of injuries, notably not going to have Navarro Bowman, their star linebacker. Just a bunch of nagging things. They've lost a bunch of running backs. I don't know where San Francisco is as a team right now in terms of being equal to what they were with Seattle. They look like they may just not, you know, be able to do this year what they've done the last couple.
Yeah, and they can't score here in the preseason either, as Hacksaw Hamilton joins us here out of the Mighty 1090. Looking at that Southern California area, what about L.A.? Anything new about what's going on with the NFL in L.A.?
Well, there's an awful lot of dialogue. Everybody wants to be in L.A., but the L.A. wants their deal. They want it done their way. They want the money, and that's a big issue. The state of California is nearly bankrupt. And one of the little-known facts is that the NFL does not view Los Angeles, Corey, as an open market. If you're going to move a franchise into L.A., you're going to pay a territorial fee of $400 million. That story has not gotten out there. So what we're talking about is who's going to pay for the brand-new stadium, and then secondly, who's going to move their franchise and be willing to pay $400 million over the next 10 years from your profits. So,
yeah.
This thing is way down road. You know, they've been talking about this for, you know, 15 years. And at one point, I thought with AEG and Tim Leiwicki, who left and went on to the Maple Leafs, I really thought that they were, because those guys were doers, I thought they'd get this done, and they haven't. And now it's just kind of off the radar. And talk is cheap, you know, and I don't care what Magic Johnson says. You know, he says, oh, we're going to have a team in 2 years. Well, I want to know who's going to build the stadium, who's going to pay for the stadium, who's going to pay for the territorial fee. And granted, you got some franchises that have problems with stadiums. San Diego is one. Oakland is just that's a sewer that they play in up there. I don't think Buffalo's going anywhere. I don't think Jacksonville's going anywhere. But there's a lot of chatter, but I don't see anybody getting anything done right there.
It's interesting you mentioned Buffalo because, I mean, of course, Toronto's been on the radar there a little bit. But is L.A. in your mind? I mean, they have to be in L.A. at some point. Is that the next stop, or is it somewhere else before they finally get there?
Well, my theory is, and one of the stories that was floated about 3 weeks ago, was that the NFL would fund the stadium. It makes sense to me. The NFL would fund it. The NFL then would get a large share of the profits from a new stadium. One of the theories was we'll put two teams in there, which then makes it really economically viable. You put an AFC team in, you put an NFC team in. But I don't know that Roger Goodell wants to take the Chargers out of San Diego. I don't think he wants to strip St. Louis of the Rams. Those are the two that are mentioned. But if the league were to fund the stadium, I could see that being viable. And the other idea that I have, and I'm sure it's come up in conversation, but nobody seems to want to talk about it publicly, take the NFL to 34 teams, put an expansion franchise in L.A., and put an expansion franchise in Toronto, with apologies if we're killing the CFL. But those two things make sense. Now, Toronto's got its own separate set of problems because I don't know that Rogers Skydome is really NFL-ready. But
yeah.
if the league were to fund a new stadium and then take $800 million to $1 billion for an expansion fee from two cities, the NFL is all about bank. The NFL is all about the Benjamins. The NFL is all about making money. That makes sense to me because at this point in this state here, I don't see a stadium being financed by the state of California or by the taxpayers.
That's very interesting. Lee Hacksaw-Hamilton joins us here from the Mighty 1090. Let's wrap up with this, Lee. We're running a little tight on time, but a lot of penalty flags we've seen. I mean, we've been talking about it up here in the CFL, but, man, the preseason games down there, a lot of penalties, the pass interference penalties too. How do you see that breaking down with the new pass penalties?
You're making reference to the, quote, Seattle rule?
Yeah, exactly, the Seattle rule.
Exactly, Corey. They say they're going to continue to call it, and I guess the only way you do it, it's like putting up speed traps on the highway. You know, people are going to bark and beef about, I'm getting ticketed, it's costing me money. Well, after a while, they'll slow down and they'll stop speeding. Well, I think the NFL is going to say, we're going to do this, and we're going to do this, and it's going to screw up the games, and it's going to hurt your team until you get your hands off those pass receivers. But it's complex to do because you got big, fast, wide receivers, and you got defensive backs who are really being penalized for anything and everything. You know, Seattle mugs people. Seattle is the exception to the rule. But you can play good defense without clutching, grabbing, and trashing people. You just got to get used to doing it a certain way. But the league 5 days ago, in the middle of last week, Corey, the league came out and said, we are not going to cut back on this. We're going to call this. You're not going to hold. You're not going to interfere beyond the five-yard marker. You're not going to do clutch and grabs and steer guys physically out of their pass routes. So we'll see come opening weekend in September whether they do it. I think they are, and then clubs are going to have to learn, like you did, stop speeding through the speed trap.
Great stuff. Lee Hacksaw-Hamilton. Check him out, LeeHacksawHamilton.com. Also on Twitter, at Hacksaw1090. Appreciate the time as always, Lee. Thank you.
My pleasure. Have yourself a great season. We'll talk again anytime.